Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
That was Buddy Rich, and probably most of you have not heard of Buddy Rich. And Buddy Rich plays drums, and we haven't featured too many drums. This is Getting It Done, and I'm your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Buddy Rich, he and Gene Cooper are from the, we're from the old school as far as drumming is concerned, and when I was really young, I used to pay close attention to Buddy Rich more so than Gene Krupa. Gene Krupa actually goes back a little further than my growing up, but I do remember him playing with Benny Goodman. And today we're going to feature Nancy Wilson again, and we're going to listen to some Christmas music. And I'm going to move right on to one of my favorite performers, George Benson, playing Affirmation. I'm was the great
I have somebody just text me on the phone, not the phone, but on my computer who's listening to the show, wanted to know about the last song before George Benson and Buddy Rich. It's one of the name of the song is called 1 o'clock Jump, and that Buddy Rich is no longer with us. They wanted to know if this, Buddy Rich was still alive. Now Buddy Rich is no longer with us. However, George Benson is and was. And one of the things that we're attempting to do is to bring the season into its fullest form. It's going to be something that probably this year is coming up is going to be a fantastic year. So without any further ado, we're going to listen to a person who at one time ruled the waterways in terms of music. I'm speaking of one of the greatest musicians that ever lived. This was back in 1979. His name is Ray Charles.
Merry Christmas, baby. Show the treat tonight. Wow. Merry Christmas, baby. I say you sure can treat me nice. Give me a diamond ring for Christmas. Ah, you did. Now I'm living in paradise. Got good music on my radio. Yeah, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got good music on my radio. Well, I want to kiss you, baby. While you stand beneath the mistletoe. Saint Nick came down the chimney about 3:30. Left all these pretty presents that you see before me. I said, hey, Merry Christmas, baby. You sure been good to me. I just want to tell you, honey. You know I haven't had a drink this evening. Guess what? But I'm all lit up like a Christmas tree. Echo!
That was Ray Charles, Brother Ray, performing at the Monterey in Germany in 1979. That was one of the songs that you heard that he did. Merry Christmas, Baby, 1979. We go back some on with that.
But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Ray Charles could play one heck of a piano. And that song he did. I had a lot of people who told me, said, hey, Christmas is over with. And, you know, people picked it, they did everything, and next, so we need to move on. But I still like to play a lot of Christmas songs. And even though all the way up until, let's say, about I think probably around New Year's Eve, I have a tendency to want to keep the spirit to continue. We're going to listen to the young lady that I was sponsoring last week. She was the hit of my show. So many comments that came in from people listening to the show on the great Nancy Wilson. This is the first song that I ever heard Nancy record.
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I sit you a quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day too. Guess who I saw today in my dream? I went in town to shop around for something new, and thought I'd stop and have a bite when I was through. I look around for some place near, and it occurred to me where I had parked the car. There was a most attractive French cafe and bar. It really wasn't very far. Birdie showed me to a dark, secluded corner, and as my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, I saw two people at the bar who were so in love, even I could spot them clear across the room. Yes, I saw today my dream. I've never been so shocked before. I headed blindly through the door. They didn't see me pass me through. Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today? Guess who I saw today? I saw you.
That was Nancy Wilson. That's the first time I heard her record. She recorded a couple of songs prior to that. In fact, in one of her interviews, she talks about that as one of the things that happened. And speaking of Nancy in her interview, I think maybe we might just listen to her talk, because you know, it's very difficult. Here's Nancy. She is being interviewed by Ed Gordon. Let's take a listen.
She considers herself a song stylist. After nearly 50 years in the music business and over 50 albums to her credit, her performing style stands unmatched.
Funny one, so true.
The sweet, sultry voice is still distinctive, and her music remains timeless, making her truly legendary. The incomparable Nancy Wilson, today on Personal Diamond.
Nancy Sue.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Chillicothe.
Chillicothe.
Ohio. And grew up in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
Olden and Lillian. Yeah. Mom and Pop. Tell me a little bit about Columbus and growing up there for you.
Okay. I was born in Chillicothe, as I said. My natural mother is Lillian. My father and mother divorced when I was about five, so I've had a bee has been in my life for 46 years or so. So I have two moms and my father. So I never think in terms of, I have the oldest of six children. So I was around about a son, mother, my brother and I. He was 15 months younger, then we have four others. And it's been wonderful being their daughter. I knew my grandparents. I used to go down to Whiskey Run, which is outside Chillicothe in the summers. I knew what it was like to enjoy life. I had a great childhood, loved school, went to a one-room school for a while from the first grade to the eighth grade, remember my school teacher very well. Just had a ball, enjoyed it, enjoyed high school, good student, had a television show when I was 15. But things started very naturally when I was, say, 3 or 4 years old. It was obvious to people that this child can sing. And I just did it any time anybody said singing, just music just poured out of my mouth. It's a gift. I've been blessed with it. I try to use it wisely. Sometimes you don't, but the bottom line is you try to do the things that make you happy so that you can sing. I like to sing when I'm happy. I don't want to sing to the exclusion of happiness. And singing is not going to make me totally happy. I need the children and the husband and the family and the home. I go home and enjoy that because I remember growing up, how happy I was. I remember my grandparents. I know who I am. I knew a sense of self. But consequently, I'm very pleased I've grown up in the Midwest, in Ohio.
You mentioned that you started singing about 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
and that indeed you had your own television show at
mm-hmm.
15. You also sang in nightclubs.
Right.
At that age. I'm curious, as you look back at it now, did you, in fact, pull that off? I mean, you know, that's a certain crowd, and to be 15 and pull it off must have been something.
I must have pulled it off. I went every weekend that they met. And I could work many, many different rooms. I was the girl singer in town and in that area of the country. The musicians would come in from New York and whatnot, Chicago, come through, and everybody knew that there was this young girl in Ohio who sang. I must have been doing something right. And having the television show gave me the exposure in the hometown. Then, working the club, every major function that was held at Valley Day and all the cabarets, I was singing at them. So, I never really stopped and thought about it. I was just doing it, and I was enjoying it. I loved the music. I was singing great material. At 15, 16, to be singing Happiness is Just a Thing Called Joe, Come Rain or Come Shine, all the great standards. I could sing Cole Porter and George Gershwin. And it was a wonderful, wonderful. And the musicians who was there and played for me cared about me. They protected me. They saw to it that no one harassed me. It was a great way to learn my craft.
You go outside of Ohio and start to travel around, but I guess 1959 can be looked at as the year that really is a springboard
right.
for you. Cannonball Adderley
right.
enters the picture.
I had met Cannonball when he first came. I was with the Rusty Brand band, and they came to New York to record. I was just working with the band. I didn't want to ever record yet. Still hadn't quite formed me yet. And we became friends, and we would correspond or talk to his family. I mean, Matt, him, and Matt's wife, we were friends. Consequently, he always said, I knew he was with John Lee. John Lee had an assistant who also knew I existed. And they always decided, and when you're ready, you know, when you decide you want to do this, and they would speak to it, the young lady got a chance to really hear me. So I just needed a place to perform so that John could come hear me. I needed to do that in New York. Finally decided, okay, I'm going to take this 6 months. I want John Levy, I want Campbell Records, and I want MCA. It took about 5 weeks.
And it all happened. It's strange to hear, though, because at such a young age, you said, I'm going to give myself 6 months in New York. I make it. If I don't, I suspect you would have said, well, we go on to the next thing.
First of all, I was working. I had a lot of work in Ohio. I was doing fine. But it was time to get out of that and go nationally if you're going to do this. Now I'm talking records now. I need to really have the kind of person producing that can live with me and I can live with the kind of music I want. So that meant David Cavanaugh, who was with Capitol. And John Levy already had George Shearing on Capitol. So I had an entree there. But you look around, John Levy was also a manager who cared about the artist, about the person who had one of the greatest reputations of any manager in the business. I wanted to be with the best and somebody who cared. So when I went to New York, I went and sat in a few places. The girl that I was rooming with, she was also a singer. She was a Janice Hammond Smith. So consequently, people knew the name. So I went and sat in a club in the Bronx, Boston Post Road, in Morocco. And Irene Reed was the singer there, house singer there. She broke her leg within 2 weeks after I arrived in New York. They called me to replace her. So I had a showcase for John Levy to come hear me. I called Julie, I called Cannonball and said, okay, tell John this weekend I'm at the Blue Rocker. John Levy came up. The usual, okay, I'll call you. Call me the next day. Within 3 or 4 days, we were in the studio with Ray Bryant's trio doing demos. Capitol had them within a week. And the phone call came to let anybody else hear them. And everything was really, it was well thought out. I think because as I said, the musicians around me, the people cared. And they really, it was just kind of all fit in place. It was just that one little call that wasn't fair. And with the job in New York, so John could hear me. I worked during the daytime. That's the real serious job I had in the daytime because I really didn't want to have to depend on anybody. So I wanted to make sure things were fine. So I worked at the New York Institute of Technology in the daytime, sang 4 nights a week in the Bronx, had my time free to have my pictures done in the portfolio and do all the things I needed to do, and still stay with this day job while I was recording in California. They were wonderful. There were all kinds of nice people in my life who made things comfortable and easy for me.
Indeed, the marriage with Capitol Records comes about. Do you remember when they released... And I'm not going to tell the title yet, but when they released the first single, did you remember the first time you heard it on the radio?
Not really. I tell you, the first album, because I really didn't go in and record singles. I went in and did albums. I thought the first single was My Foolish Heart. Someone else had told me it would Tell Me the Truth. I think it's My Foolish Heart, but I'm not positive. I went away, actually. John Levy was very bright. We wanted to create a band. When the album first came out, I was not in the country. Consequently, when I did come back here to work, there was a lot of work, and it was just snowballed after that. I was in Australia for 3 months while the momentum built here in the country. I remember hearing myself on the air, but they were playing. I remember the first time I heard Guess Who I Saw Today on the air. I also remember hearing it on WCSL out of Chicago with Sid McCoy introducing it, and that is, I had a whip out in my car one night, and this man was saying all these marvelous things in this great voice about sweet Nancy, the baby. And it was enough to, it was a great feeling, I'll tell you that.
What about the people that you look to for inspiration?
Mm-hmm.
Who did you listen to and say, perhaps when you close the door and you think, boy, that's who I want to be? Like, not necessarily emulate.
Even before I thought about that, I think the sound that I had, the phrasing, came from around 8-10 years old. My father was the one who basically bought records and listened mostly. And it was Lionel Hampton's big band with Little Jimmy Scott. The band vocalist, and that's who Nancy Wilson sounds like. The being female and coming up around 16 when people heard me, they automatically they want to have you sound like or be like somebody. Then it was Donna Washington. When Time Magazine gets in the picture, it becomes Ella Fitzgerald. Well, I think if I sounded like anyone, it would have been Donna Washington, but I actually am as close to Lipton Scott as you can get. That comes from having listened to him for so long. I loved him. I loved that Cole, the next thing. I found a female favorite on my own. That was Ruth Brown, Laverne Baker, and Lilith Cornshucks in Donna Washington. The jazz came along as I got a little older. Some of the first songs I sang at my high school, like 9th, 10th grade, were by myself. They were on more so than Ella Fitzgerald or Billie Holiday. Billie Holiday I found much, much later. So I would say, first Lilith and Scott, then Donna Washington, and then Sarah Vaughan.
As you look back on your career now, and modesty aside, do you see yourself as everyone else does, as a legend? You know that when they talk about singers in history that your name is going to be on that list.
I think I finally realized that when Regina Baker came, Anita Baker and Regina Bell, Philip Hyman, then you realize what you mean to other singers. I remember not being able to really figure out whether I was pleased or upset or the first time I drove up and saw a marquee that said legend. And I was like, what, 30 years old, you know, 39 and all that. Then I decided to accept the mantle and wear it and be proud of it. So, yeah.
Okay, but I want to close the music chapter before we do that. And your ideas on music, you've been quoted as saying the day music died is the day they brought in 24.
You got it. That's the truth. I remember early in the studio with 36 musicians live, down to the clock, doing 4-6 songs, complete and finished. Mostly in because you had an entire arrangement written. You had musicians who could come in and play it. You had sat down with the arranger and your producer long before you ever went in the studio and started spending money. And now none of that is done until you get in the studio. So I think the studio time is just outrageously high now. Unbelievable. And I still like to sing songs as opposed to bits and pieces. When you could come in and not sing entire songs and just and piece together a song, you no longer needed to be talented. And there are some, I think that there are people who are talented, but you don't have to be anymore. You can make things happen. The artist lost control there, I think. I still am able to do things away. And I think that there are those coming up today who realize that, that they want to sing entire pieces of your creativity comes from the artist also. We need to now go back to where people share that responsibility. Producers should not be able to just produce an artist to extinction. The artist should have input. And I think that's coming back. I want the producers to understand that these people, you wouldn't want them as your artist if they weren't creative. So let their juices flow. Leave them alone. Allow them to go in the studio and perform. Don't overproduce them. Let them be. That's happening more and more now. I loved it when we could go in. Your energy level was just unbelievable because you knew you had to do it. Well, you know, if I don't do it today, I can do it tomorrow. That's not the right attitude to have. I still like going in and knowing I only have a second and that's all I want. I don't want any more time. It's not going to get better just because you continue to be repetitive. How many ways are there to do anything? I don't want to fight every way. I think that I'm going to come in with the correct attitude about it when I walk in the door, and I'll be ready.
And anyone who has seen you live knows that they are a very, very important part of you. You talk of them lovingly. And if you sing If I Could or Heaven's Hand, you see that there's something about children that is very, very special to you.
My success, really, one of the things that God always wanted to make sure that I wanted children. I chose to have these children. I want my children to be extensions of me. We talked about self-esteem earlier. There are those of us who have values and a morality and a kind of desire to see this world and this country in particular be a better place to live. Consequently, I wanted children who were caring and who are giving. I'm proud of my son. It's just a delight. With teenage daughters, trying to work with them and keep their outside beauty, you know, want that inside to come through so you see more than just these pretty young women. I think they'll be fine. I want them to be caring and concerned. All musically inclined, but they did nice. We have a good time together. I finally went through a doll period with my girls. You know, I love teddy bears because I've had these girls. They are my reason. They make it all worthwhile. I don't know that I would care as much if I didn't have these children. I care about you because I have these children. I want my children to be out there and be of some kind of service to people. So they have been my joy. You know, they're everything to me.
And there's a special reverend.
Yeah. They've always been the right reverend. I always used to preface all the songs I sang about that. He's a fine man. He's been there, you know, with me traveling half the time. I'm so pleased that my children, the girls, have always had one of us at home. They have not been without a parent. And at all times, one of us is always there. He's consistent, you know. He's just there. He's a rock. It's like, it's just nice that to know that there is this person who sits there. And that there, sometimes I close my eyes and I just see this Pittsburgh guy, you know, this man who has roots in Virginia, who's very much like me. You know, both of us are basically rural people and live that way now. And we have some of the same ideas about the fact that I didn't want my children brought up in an inner city. If I could allow them to be, I want inner city children to experience a rural way to live. I get kind of upset every now and then because we've sold off a lot of our land, and that bothers me. So I've bought them. I'll keep it. I don't want to sell my 40 acres in the middle. I want to keep them.
Before we go, I need to, I guess, come back full circle to music and ask you just a couple more things. And one, obviously, as I've heard and read you say, I can't leave the arena, the club, the lounge, without doing Guess Who I Saw Today. I'm curious, what's your feeling about that song, since everyone I leave you with?
When I heard this song, I was 14, 15, Colin McRae. Okay, I can tell you exactly how old I was. 1952, it came out. So it means that Edie Gourmet and Carmen did it in within like 53. So I started singing this song when I heard Carmen do it. I thought it was one of the greatest songs. I pictured it in my head. The actress in me saw what was happening. I started singing it and have sung it literally every night. I loved Carmen McRae's version. It became the song that everybody wanted to hear in the small clubs in Ohio. It was the song that John Levy heard. It was the song that Capitol Records heard. It was the song that everybody had heard literally every night all these years. I took it out, I guess, they did a special show and somebody put together this new pack and it wasn't in there. And I was absolutely in shock because it didn't feel right. I was not comfortable without seeing Guess What I Saw Today. The audience always went away disappointed because it wasn't there. I'm never going to not sing it. It is fresh every night because some different man has done that someplace to somebody. And it always fits. It all remains valid because men will continue to be men. I don't want to talk about you guys too bad, but
please
come
don't.
On. I know.
Please don't. Is it in fact though your favorite song?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. There's probably, I don't think lyrics get any better than Guess Who I Saw Today. But there are songs like Over the Weekend and When a Woman Loves a Man that I will love, but not sing all the time. I probably would have to say it. Because of everything it's meant and the fact that the song remains valid, and it's easy to picture it because somebody, as I said before, is going to go through this at some point. It would be my favorite only because it works so well. And it's me. But also how glad I am is one that allows me to tell you how I feel.
Your latest album, which I believe, and I've seen a number of numbers put to this, but it's the 52nd album.
Right. Yeah, I'm 52. Right.
Somewhere in there.
Well, I was there for a while. 50 is when it came out. 51, but right. I'm older than the album. Okay. 52, right.
So aptly named, The Lady with the Song.
Uh-huh.
Dr. George Butler says Nancy Wilson is a singer of songs, a singer-singer, and a lady with a song. That's high praise there. As far as you're concerned, quite appropriate. Is that how you see yourself?
When I think of the quality of material I have been singing for 38 years, when I remember, guess who I saw today, how glad I am, greatest performance of my life. I've never been to me, Joe, Lady with a Song, Don't Ask My Name, but Over the Weekend, The Right to Love. When I think of the quality and the fact that it had lasted so long, yes, I am just that.
Finally, we always ask our guests to leave us with a credo, some words of wisdom for folks, and perhaps how you've lived your life and how you'd like to at least impart knowledge to others, how perhaps they should live theirs and help them. What would that be?
Well, I think that we owe ourselves honesty. I think that my feelings about children, as parents, I think that we need to share some of our lives with our children. I think we need to communicate with our children more. I think we need to recognize that the 14-year-old child today faces far more negative, they're just bombarded with things that are negative. We need to accept that and recognize the fact that we can't expect our children to be us. We can't expect them to have it. I thought my life was far easier than my children's life. I think we need to recognize that. Share our lives with others and with children. I want my children, and I want most young people to understand that there is help. You need to talk to a parent, but you also need to deal with a higher being. You need to pray. You need to ask for help. You need to recognize the fact that you cannot do it alone. It worries me sometimes that there are those of us out here in this world who think that we're responsible for everything, that we must do it all ourselves, that stress becomes so heavy that we lose sight of reality. I want us to, our own selves, be true and take it to a higher power.
Indeed. Nancy Wilson, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, that was the great Nancy Wilson, who we lost back in 2018. I thought it was last year, and it was last year, mainly because this is still 2019. However, that's going to change very shortly. You know, one of the albums that I had an opportunity to purchase, I don't know where it is now because I'm not too into actually albums any longer. But there was one that Nancy Wilson did with Cannonball Adderley. Let's give a listen.
Yeah. I want to say the way it really is that I would rather drink the mother of all myself. Hey, is that Nancy Wilson? Good, goodness of life. Woo! Woo! You see what I'm talking about? You come to our record sessions, ain't no telling who's going to show up. We're expecting Tennessee Ernie any minute. Oh, Buzzer Owens. I want to tell you, as I said earlier, we are doing, believe it or not, Sweet Nancy. Yeah, we are. We don't ever know how we're going to be acting. Damn. Hey, we don't get a different group.
Wish I knew. Why I'm so in love with you. No one else has a room to do. Darling, please say like a fool of love, I say. And then you say you love me. I can feel it. I can't conceal it. I really love you, my dear. And I know no girl can come from loving you. I can't do a thing. But I'm in love with you. Oh, I said, darling, help me, please. Have mercy on a fool like me. I know I'm lost, but still I plead. Darling, please save your love for me. You may have fun with a cloud, but for crying out loud,
sweet Nancy Wilson.
Yes, that was the sweet Nancy Wilson, and that was actually remade for the computer. And ran on at over 61 hits, 61,000 hits, 61,548 hits since November the 5th, 2012. Nancy passed on in last year, but that song right there was one of the very first songs that I, an album that I purchased of hers. The rest of the time I would hear songs, but I didn't buy her albums. But that's the one that I did buy one. We're going to move on to another Christmas song from one of the great musicians of all time, or should I say the greatest lyricist, person who could you could understand every word. And I'm speaking none other than the great Frank Sinatra.
Stood in the place and
dreaming inside painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way. He stores his sleigh of things, things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls away. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And it's all in mind in three-quarter time. Wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Thank you. Walter Brandon, lead puppet of Ryan Kaiser. Where's the chance of the federal officer?
Will be near to us. someday soon we all will be together. It's so safe now. Until then, we'll have to battle through somehow. Yeah, you're so funny. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Yourself a merry little Christmas.
That's Merry Christmas, Have Yourself a Merry Christmas, done by the Wynton Marsalis Orchestra at the Jazz at the Lincoln Center. And that was back in 2015. And we'll probably come back to that if I have some time and listen to some more of that. But there's a guy that I want you to hear. I have a lot of respect for his ability. What can you say about this young man right here? Pianist. He's one of the smooth individuals right now in jazz. The smooth jazz thing that's going on, and his name is Brian Culberson. Let's give a listen to this young man's. Well, I say young man. He's in his 40s, but he's a young man as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
My by David Benoit.
You to hear another Nancy Wilson song before we leave, and and I hope we have enough time to do this. It takes 6 minutes to get through it. Let's listen. Because, you see, Christmas is going to be coming to a close. The next time we broadcast, we won't be doing any Christmas music, but let's listen to Nancy.
Hark how the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say the rogue has a way. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old. We can the bold, ding-dong, ding-dong, that is the song. Tears, purple, ring, all caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, all of us are raising the sound, more than a big hand in the air. Yeah, it ring, while people sing songs of good cheer, Christmas is here. Ding, 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 ding.
Everyone, Coming to the conclusion of the song, but Care of the Bells by Nancy Wilson was something done December the 23rd, 2010. Nancy's no longer with us, but her music is. What a fantastic entertainer. So we'll bring this, our show, to a conclusion for today. You have been listening to Getting It Done. And hopefully today, as well as some of the other shows we've had, we were getting it done. And I just can't say enough about those of you who were kind enough to listen to the show, mainly because of without you, there is no Christmas for me to talk about. Well, concluding our show, you won't hear all of it, but this is Stevie Wonder in 2008, and we're going to conclude with him. Have a nice Merry Christmas or a nice New Year's, because that will be in vogue by the time the next show comes about. Thank you for listening, and Merry Christmas to all.